Fan Morning Show, brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And it is a good morning to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, wherever you may be. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We've only done an hour. I feel like this might be one of my favorite shows we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have to go, the Steelers won. They're 5-2, but dot, dot, dot. Well, this sucked or that sucked. There is no reason for consternation today. There is nothing to be upset about. Maybe the most complete win the Steelers have had in a long time, and that's why we've asked the question, fill in the blank. This is the best you've felt about the Steelers since blank. 412-928-9370. The phone lines are packed, and we will get to you momentarily. I'll answer my own question, and then I'll hand it over to you, Doran. This is the best I've felt about the Steelers since 2018. In season. I felt really good about them going into last year. Kenny Pickett, 158.3 passer rating. The ball didn't touch the ground in the preseason. And we thought Kenny was clutch. He had been in his rookie year, but it looked like he took the clutch gene and extrapolated it. It looked like there might be some consistency. Then they got their doors blown off by San Francisco, and well, I never felt great about them from that point forward. But in 2018, last time I felt this good, it's actually a game they lost, and it's when the Roman Empire came to die. It was against the New Orleans Saints. Tough place to play, throwing the ball all over the yard. AB was making play after play. Juju Smith-Schuster fumbles late, then gets named the MVP of the team the following day.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And that's when AB throws the ball at Ben's feet, yada, 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 the rest is history. But in the midst of that game, I thought, if they get in, they've got a really good chance to win. They've got a chance to maybe do something special. They didn't get in. That's the best I felt about the Steelers last night since then.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I can't go back that far. Let's try to get like remotely close.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna go back to last year where I was like felt like okay, like they finally like did something significant was whenever Mason played against Seattle.
Yeah.
For me, in a way, like it's not like a direct comparison to what I saw last night, but whenever that win in Seattle to me was like, okay, like they have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very tough place to play. Mason Rudolph, you know everything that went through, the carousel of quarterbacks, and you know, for him to go in there and to help his team win that game, I was like, oh, like they can get to the playoffs. Like I felt like I was like, they can get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's like last night was just so balanced. For me, it's kind of hard to pinpoint what the last time was where I felt like they were this good. But close was probably Seattle last year where I felt like comfortable with what they were doing
yeah.
and where they were going. Last night, though, I mean, there's nothing that I can poke a hole in.
You feel like it's somewhat sustainable because you've got a veteran quarterback. And I'm with you that I thought that they maybe could win a playoff game the way that Rudolph was playing. And that week, there was the whole snow deal, and you're thinking, oh, the Steelers are going to run it, and Josh Allen's not going to be able to throw it because the wind's going to be sideways. So there were reasons for optimism. I'm with you on Seattle. People are texting in 2020 when the Steelers started 11-0.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they were like 7-0, I felt really good.
Mm-hmm.
But then it like, seemed like they were getting by smoke and mirrors. A couple of people actually texted in, well, last week they destroyed the Raiders. Yeah, but you could poke holes in that too. Like, without a couple of roughing the passer calls, you might be looking at a much closer game, perhaps, but unlikely
did
a different outcome.
Did they throw for a touchdown last week?
No.
Right.
I don't think they
so.
Did.
I know.
That was the Justin Fields era, Doran. We don't think all the way back to that. 412-928-9370. This is the best you've felt about the Steelers since John, fill in that blank, buddy. How you doing?
Since probably number 7 being on the center. But I'm having a Bart Scott kind of day. I can't wait to get to work this week.
Where do you live? New York, huh?
I live in New York, and I took a lot of crap last week, so I'm looking forward to get to work right now.
So Davante Adams, correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't have a touchdown yesterday, did he, Doran?
Nope.
Negative.
But Van Jefferson did, John?
Yes, he did.
You might want to throw that in the face of some of your friends, huh?
Oh, trust me, it's in the arsenal.
You're not a Mets fan, are you?
No, I'm a Yankee fan.
Man, you're having a hell of a day.
Yes, you are.
You're having a hell of a day, John. Thanks for the call, man.
How are we going, guys?
You too.
You too. I mean, a little bit of a front runner there, John, but yeah. Hey, he's on our team for this one. We'll take it. Rich out in Wilkes-Barre. Hi, Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, we're great.
Good.
I'd have to say I'd probably have to go back to 2018 just for the fluidity of the offense last night. I mean, you scored 36 points, which God knows how long it's been since we've done that. You got George Pickens out there actually blocking people, and Danny Smith out there running around like somebody stole 10 packs of his gum.
His guys love him, man. Is that not evident, Doran?
Oh, yeah.
They adore Danny Smith.
Yes, they do.
Dude, I'll tell you, when I saw that, that right there lit a fire right under them and got them going.
I think, dude, Rich, when they called Minka for that bogus penalty, I think that made the special teams unit, the kick block unit, that much more hungry to go out and get one for Danny Smith. They wanted to reward their coach. Thank you for the call, Rich. We appreciate it. Again, a complete win.
Mm-hmm.
Defense making plays. Offense putting up 37. Special teams blocking stuff. Broderick Jones, I guess, didn't play well. Anything else? Any other fly in the ointment? I mean, the start wasn't great, but still. So here's the thing about the start. It looked ugly early. Boo birds are out. Tomlin's coming under fire. They're chanting for Justin Fields. They scored 13 points. Justin Fields, who, again, I'm not crapping on, had led the Steelers to an average of 7.5 points per first half in the first six games. So even though there wasn't a ton of offensive fluidity early, there were good moments, it was still better than what they've had for a quarterback who came in rusty. I'm trying to look for negatives. I mean, it's part of our job. You want to evaluate the whole thing. I'm not seeing a lot.
Yeah, I don't see a lot, but were you shocked that you didn't see Justin Fields at all?
Yes.
Me too.
The two QB sneaks, I thought you might see Justin Fields. And I'm okay that they didn't put him in there.
I don't think that that's something that's going to be a mainstay, though. I think like this week, I think that they will use that wrinkle at some point. I think he will be a part of this offense.
I agree with that. I don't think they wanted to
upset the apple cart with Russ and try to, you know, break his rhythm.
The cauldron was bubbling early, and the natives were restless. And if you put Justin Fields in then, you can't go back to Russ.
Right.
Big, big, big note on the broadcast. And Tomlin talks to the national media in a way that he's not going to talk to the local media. So he did the production meeting with Collinsworth and Tirico, and Collinsworth said that Tomlin said if he goes back to Justin Fields, he's sticking with him. So if they feel the need to ever turn it back, that'll be the move from here on out. And that makes sense. Like, if you're going to come off of Russ Wilson, you're going to go with the guy who's 4-2, and you obviously wouldn't have seen enough from Russ. Now, though, same way we talked about this with Fields, I think Russ now gets a mulligan game.
Yep.
Like, go out and beat the Giant. I mean, you got to win that game.
Yes.
But he played well enough in this one that you saw now what could be the ceiling of the Steelers offense. He gets a mulligan at some point. He just does. 412-928-9370, Thomas in Indianapolis. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I don't want to be the negative fan. And
oh, no.
No, I'll explain it here. So you guys say, you know, like, oh, I don't really see a lot of negatives. I just thought the whole offense was, it was a lot of a smoke and mirrors to an extent. I mean, beyond the four passes, the two to Darnell Washington, the one overthrow to Muth, and the one to Van Jefferson, Russell Wilson's arm didn't look that good deep. The touchdown to Pickens was underthrown. The one to the sideline that bounced off his helmet, the Jets helmet, and then landed in his arms, and he fumbled it again and then was, caught, was underthrown. He was really, his arm did not look great deep. And then on top of that, my other concern is, Tomlin seems exponentially more confident in giving a guy that maybe has two more years left of decent ball the open playbook compared to a guy that's significantly younger and has the potential to play for 10-plus years. Just the whole offense looked astronomically different with Wilson out there from a play-calling standpoint. And I remember you guys, like, you know, your under center and play-action stats. The leash for Russell Wilson is significantly longer off the bat.
Sure, there's no doubt about that. And thank you for the call, Thomas. So the last point, I understand where you're coming from. You're thinking about the future as well as the present. You bench a quarterback who's 4-2, who is 10 years younger than Russ Wilson. So if you're upset about that because you think Justin Fields can be the future, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
The deep ball was great.
Yeah, I don't know what game he was watching.
Man, the deep ball was great.
I know, yeah. This isn't Madden. Like, this is hard. It's the NFL. Like, there's Sauce Gardner's out there. There's guys getting paid a lot of money on defense to get you down to the ground and also defend you on the back end. And it's his first game since December of last year. Like,
that's the other thing.
I thought the deep balls were really good. I did. Maybe I was watching a different game, though.
They started to feel it offensively after he uncorked the first deep ball.
Yeah.
And Russ talked about it after the game, that they let him cut it loose a little bit. And when he did, it opened up the running game. I think it gave them an extra spring in their step. And what I would say to the previous caller, who we love, thank you for listening at 412-928-9370, they ran for 149 yards and scored 37 points. Rest easy tonight, knowing the Steelers, agree or disagree based on Justin Fields potentially being the future, the Steelers played the guy they think can win them a playoff game. And based on what we saw last night, I would now tend to agree that this guy gives them a better chance. Baltimore's got the best rush defense in the NFL. You want to beat them and win the division, you need to throw the ball.
Yes.
This guy throws it better.
Yes.
It does not mean Justin Fields can't be the guy.
Right.
Russ said after the game he thinks Justin Fields could be a franchise quarterback. But their mission statement going into the year, or hell, coming out of last year from Art Rooney II, was we need to win a damn playoff game. He didn't say, damn, I am. This guy gives you a shot. 412-928-9370. Fill in the blank. This is the best you felt about the Steelers since... ... We'll take more of your calls when we come back.
Second and a long four. Gets spread it out. Highsmith came around the edge. Rodgers has it. Is intercepted. Pulled away. Petey Bishop, the rookie, reels it in. Pick number 6 thrown by Rodgers. And the first of Bishop's career.
Yeah, you know, A-Rod, he likes to, you know, whenever he sees the middle of the field open, he likes to, you know, throw the ball in there. And I can't remember if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, you know, he threw the ball right at Buddy's helmet and, you know, kind of gave him a back shoulder pass. So, you know, just being able to, you know, see that stuff on film and just be able to react and, you know that it's coming. That's just how I kind of played it.
Beanie Bishop talking about film study. You're allowed to get better.
I heard one clip that he watched Green Bay film of Rodgers and Devonta.
Good for him. Good for them. He had been a sore spot in an otherwise really good Steelers defense to this point. And it's not like he was bad in coverage. It's that a couple of times he was running the wrong stuff, that there was miscommunication. No such problems last night. Two interceptions for Beanie Bishop, his first and second in his career. The first player in NFL history to pick off a multiple-time MVP multiple times as an undrafted rookie free agent. So congratulations to Beanie, and I have now changed my head attire, Doran.
I saw that.
I am now wearing a beanie. Beanies for Bishop. Let's make it a thing.
Yes. Whose is that? You better...
I don't know.
That's not good. What if there's like lace or something?
Yeah, that's not good. I didn't really think about that. Daughter's school sent out an email like a month ago saying that one of the kids had lice. And now I'm petrified of it, and I didn't even think about it just there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So Beanie Bishop changed the game.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Jets were poised to maybe get up by multiple scores. When you think about it, like, they were driving. They were going to get the ball back at halftime, too. So they were going to get two possessions before you touch the ball again, Russell Wilson. And The second one was a fortuitous bounce, being in the right spot, though. You got to credit him for that, and it was a hell of a return. Wish he could have scored. Same with him. Nice play by Devonta Adams to track him down, too. The first one, though, that's just a hell of a play. And he talked about the film study. He tries to put it on the helmet. Like, when your back's turned as a defender, and Beanie just plucks it one hand, pulls it in, and it changed the momentum. Steelers go down and score, and not just that, 31 unanswered points. So the play of the game, for my money, and maybe the play of the season so far, as it changed the dynamics. Is this the best you've felt about the Steelers since, fill in the blank, 412-928-9370? Shall we?
Of course.
Shall. Al in West Virginia. Hello, Al.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
Hey, I wanted to switch gears here a little bit, and I want to say that this is the best I've felt since Art took over from Dan. Art just doesn't have what Dan had, and it always seemed like the organization was a little ajar whenever Art has it, but it feels great now.
Well, to that point, and thank you, Al, for the call at 412-928-9370. Tomlin doesn't feel pressure because he's going to get fired, but I do think there's pressure to, win a playoff game this year, and Art said it at the end of last season. They don't usually talk in absolutes that way. Usually every year it's about a championship, but he flatly stated, got to win a playoff game. That's why they went to Russ, to see if he can win them a playoff game, because the other guy had him at 4-2.
Well, there's pressure with that, but I think whenever we look at the 30,000-foot view of the Steelers organization, there's always pressure of, keeping that standard, and you saw evidence of it last night, the team that got honored, the 74 team. Like, you see those guys that are still able to walk on the field and know what they did for this franchise. Like, if you're Art, if you're Mike Tomlin, they're still, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you have to uphold, what you're doing to that standard. Like, I mean, and that's never really changed. And we could say that, Art is a lawyer, Art doesn't care as much. But at the end, he's not some owner that just wants to make money. Like, he's been a part of this thing for a long time. Like, I mean, his family, I mean, they're football people. Like, he wants to win. Now, not everything goes the way that you plan, but he wants to win at the end of the day. And there's a high expectation that has been placed on this organization a long time ago that whoever is running things needs to uphold it.
The Chief got rings. Dan got rings. Art wants a ring as the guy. And you can't get there if you don't win a playoff game. And a lot of people don't know what these guys do either. I mean, I don't need to defend anybody here, but it's a capped league. They're always going to spend to the cap. I know that the NFLPA report card came out and it didn't look good. And I know people have questioned how much money goes into the staff because they've historically had one of the smaller staffs in the league. But, I don't think he's a boob. I'll put it that way. Old German Rod, haven't heard from you, buddy, since the olden days of the early morning show back when I was hosting it. How you doing?
Good morning. Hey, I haven't felt this good since Ben and Brian, before Brian got his concussion.
So we're talking the year that they beat the Bengals in the playoffs.
Yes, sir. And a shout-out to your West Virginia fellow, Benny Bishop, last night.
Benny?
And another shout-out for the special teams. I think the special teams should be a big topic today because that was a heck of a special teams there.
You're right, old German Rod, and thank you so much for the call. It would be a much bigger talking point if the Steelers offense didn't put up 37.
Right.
And someone texted in, Steelers rush defense needs work. Coming into the game, they were giving up 3.6 yards per carry. New York rushed for 3.6 yards per carry. New York rushed for 54 yards. They got creased a couple of times. Breece Hall's really good. And Breece Hall got it done in the passing game. Again, Breece Hall's really good. They held that offense with a plethora of skill position talent. Maybe the second most talented or the most talented skill position unit in the league. They held them to 15 points.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be a few that complain. We had a caller earlier saying Russ was underthrowing everybody. It's not what I saw.
Nope.
It's not what you saw.
Nope.
Five plays at 21 or more yards.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback rating of 109.
Mm.
And George Pickens probably pretty happy, no?
Very.
George Pickens, five catches for 111. We'll keep taking calls at 412-928-9370, but we'll let you hear from George Pickens when we come back.
Second and 10. Gets bring four. Looks an end zone shot. Pickens! Got it! Touchdown, Pittsburgh!
Yeah, like I said, like previous in the week, a guy going to back-to-back Super Bowls, you know, he knows when guys are blitzing. His cadence is a little more dominant with guys jumping off sides, you know what I mean? But like I said, on third down and second down, they play a lot of man-on-man, and we took opportunities.
So 66 snaps last night for Russell Wilson, 41 of which under center. So 66 snaps. How many times do you think he said hut? 800?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was evident too. Just hard count.
Yes.
Time after time after time after time. And a lot of folks were worried about the pass rush of the New York Jets, third best in the NFL, and didn't think that Russ would be able to escape. But that's a way to slow down the pass rush a little bit too, isn't it, Doran?
Absolutely. And it's not just about drawing somebody off sides. It is about getting the information and the intel that you need. It's the whitey hut. All right, now what are they doing? Okay, they're moving around. Okay, now we're going to check, and then we're going to go actually on a real count. That's usually, you know, you saw Ben do that all the time.
All the time.
Black 60, right? Well, it was a black 60, hut, and then you look and see what everybody's doing, and then it's like, okay, we're going to go here, bang, and then this is the actual play call, and this is the actual cadence. So I didn't see that from Justin really at all.
No, you didn't.
So that's a whole different dynamic to your offense that not everybody's probably used to, but it just makes a lot of sense if you've been in other offenses that actually are competent, that you do use that time to actually gather the intel that you need if you're the quarterback or the offensive players.
Coors Light.
Yes. I do wonder what that means. I was trying to think what that could be. Coors Light. That was the Calvin Austin drop, right?
It was.
I'll figure it out.
If it was one of those moon balls, it could have been Coors Light, mountains are blue, throw it up into the mountains, but I don't know.
Yes.
Mine would be Zen Rewards points. That'd be my audible. Blue 80, Zen Rewards. And hut. Crippling nicotine addiction, and go. That kind of deal. 412-928-9370. I don't think that they made the change to Russell Wilson in order to placate George Pickens, but it sure is a nice little ripple effect, isn't it? Like, I don't think that this was all about, well, we need to get Pickens the football. We need to keep him on the straight and narrow, but it was to get more of an adult passing attack, and I don't know what the Jets were doing. They're so banged up in the secondary, and that might be the answer, but it was single coverage on George Pickens all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And Russ is going to see that. Russ is going to attack that. On the couple of occasions where they didn't hit downfield, you saw pass interference calls. And I thought there were a couple that they could have called. So if you're going to single up the best threat on the team, Russ Wilson's going to put it up to him, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they're doing.
I don't think they expected him to be as elusive as he was. I think that they thought, usually whenever you're singled up and you have man coverage, you're bringing something. You're bringing a blitz, or you're coming, you know, you're bringing something, and that gets the quarterback off the path. Maybe their game plan was like, all right, it's Russ Wilson. He's 35 years old, coming off an injury. Let's just get after him. Let's see if he can actually move. And he moved a lot better, I think, than people anticipated.
Yeah.
And it's not like he had, what, 2 yards rushing. He doesn't run the football up the field, but from side to side and moving around and getting the ball out, like, he looked prime.
He did.
He looked pretty good.
He did.
Quick. You know, he was extending plays.
I know there was one early where he got tackled for a 1 yard rush that Justin Fields probably runs, picks up a first down.
Yep.
And I went, eh. But if he gets sacked, it's a 6 yard loss, drive ruined. He didn't get sacked. He gets it to 2nd and 9. Live to fight another day. He can do those kind of things. Joe in Oakmont, next up on the show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, fellas. You know, I think the best game since last night was probably the Immaculate Extension with AB in the Ravens game.
Man, you're going way back.
Mm. Right? I mean, whenever you actually had excitement that they might actually do something in the playoffs, then you get blown out by Jacksonville, but whatever. But I'm going to give credit to that center last night, you know, for being thrown in there into the fire. He did a pretty damn good job. He did.
If you got thrown into a fire for real, that wouldn't go well.
It wouldn't.
October is fire safety month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He did look good.
Month, but yeah.
That prevention, safety, potato.
Yeah, you just hope that you could.
That's not the saying. Tomato. Ah, there we go. Found it. Sorry, go ahead.
You just hope that he can give you one more game because you anticipate Zach Frazier coming back after the bye week. But that's the first thing I paid attention to or you know, just found out last night. I was like, oh man, this McCollum kid's holding up pretty well.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do to go in there and just play center and then have like a different quarterback. I don't know who he's been working with in practice. Definitely wasn't probably Fields because Frazier was working with Fields. I don't know. Maybe he was working with Russ and that is, actually does work out. But I think that kid has done a pretty decent job this far.
Not one pre-snap penalty either. And they rushed for 150 yards, did the Steelers, 4.1 yards per rush. They, I really thought, broke the dam late in the game. And I'm not Craig Wolfley. I'm not you. I'm not sitting there grading every offensive line snap. But one thing I will notice is when a guy F's up, and I wasn't seeing any of that from him. Just steady, if unspectacular, but that's all you really need. 412-928-9370. This is the best you felt about the Steelers since fill in the blank. And we've got Doran player grades. One guy I think needs to be graded very highly. Another guy needs to be graded not so highly, but we'll see what Doran thinks when we come back. Doran's going to hand out some player grades in a minute. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19, and Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. At the top of the hour, your thoughts on the job Mike Tomlin's done so far. He walked up in there. His you-know-what's dragging on the ground. So how you feeling about Mike Tomlin? 412-928-9370. Real quick, someone texts in, Coors is made in Colorado, a.k.a. maybe a shot at Denver. If you're going to take a shot at Denver, maybe go Sean Payton's facial growth. Something like that.
Facial growth?
He's got a weird thing on his face.
Does he?
Yeah.
What, like a mole?
I don't know what it is. You should get it checked out.
Huh.
Go see your dermatologist, Sean. Just take a look at that. I'm looking out. Just looking out for my fellow human. All right, grades. Anybody in particular you want to single out? Because I got a couple of guys, but it's up to you.
Single out? I mean, clearly Beanie Bishop, but we already talked about him. So, I mean, he gets an A. Right? I mean, he has to. I mean, just the response. And I don't think people understand how significant that is for a young player to respond that way. I know his teammates have kept his spirits up throughout the first how many weeks that he's been struggling. So, you know, kudos to his teammates. He did, I think, say that in his post-game interviews, and KZ being one of those guys and just keeping the faith. And, you know, they know that they were going to need him at some point in the season. That's why you keep your teammates' spirits up. That's why you give them confidence, especially a young player, because you're here for a reason. We're going to need you at some point, yeah. So don't lose that. And it paid off. I mean, it really paid off. And I just really happy for the young guy because that's tough. That's a tough situation to be in. And to come through like that, that shows resiliency. That shows you why he has a chip on his shoulder, because he didn't get drafted because he was 5'9". Just fantastic work by Beanie Bishop. So I give him an A. That's probably my guy that I would single out the most. Other guys like George Pickens, A.
How about Najee, man?
Najee, another A.
2 weeks in a row.
Najee, yes.
That's only the second time in his career that he's rushed for over 100 yards in two consecutive weeks. And usually that happens towards the end of the year when he's gelling with the line, when he's getting into a rhythm. That it's happening early tells me a couple of things. One, just watch him individually. You know, I heard Collinsworth say in the broadcast last night, and I know you were in the press box, so you wouldn't have heard it. He's running harder. I don't think he's running harder. I think he's running more effectively. His effort's never been the question. He's a hard-nosed, tough guy, plays through injuries. To me, it's not effort, but it's just effectiveness. And the other thing, Arthur Smith.
Yes.
A?
Yes. Yes.
And one more guy. Because there's a lot of good. Broderick.
Not good.
Not good.
Not good. Russ probably, if we were to sit down with Arthur Smith and Russ and give them truth serum and watch that whole game, every offensive play, and say how many times did you have to protect Broderick and like make him look better than he probably did, I bet you it's a lot. So I bet you that's even worse than what we saw with our eyes.
For sure. I think you hate to say this. And he's got the rest of the year to figure it out, which you would hope as time goes on, he gets better. I think he was the worst offensive player on the field for the Steelers last night.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Well, yes. No doubt.
It was going to be Calvin Austin in the discussion just for one play, because that could have changed the whole thing. That changed the tone, tenor, momentum, the way the crowd was feeling. But then he made up for it wide open on a play that was schemed open.
Yep.
Now, Arthur Smith doesn't scheme guys open. Arthur Smith, bad offensive coordinator. Yeah, he runs too much on second and long for my liking. Fair enough. I don't always love the toss stuff. Fair enough. But when you got a guy running wide open like that, there's a pick play in the middle of the field, Mwah, chef's kiss, thing of beauty. Your old guy didn't do that. Old guy didn't do that. Texter. Good morning. Awesome win, one game at a time. Yeah, but. There is no yeah, but. That's what's so great about this. Steelers win, yeah, but. Steelers win, but there's things to work on. This was a complete Steelers victory. They dominated in the second half. They scored 31 unanswered points.
They have to do it Monday.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. Like, that's where it's like you hold the pause, and that's where we'll probably be all week. Like, you need to re-up this performance on Monday against a terrible Giants team.
Yes.
You can't go in there and keep them in the whole game, and then you're just reverting back to before last night, and then it's like, oh, all for naught.
6-2 is a hell of a lot different than 5-3, my man. It's a hell of a lot different. The Steelers are in position right now that if they take care of games like this, if you take care of Cleveland a couple of times, and then you play Baltimore the way you've always historically played Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, you got a shot and maybe a good one to have a home playoff game. But you can't stub your toe against the Giants. And really, if you score 20 points, you should win that game. Now we're getting ahead of it. But that's the talking point all week.
Yes.
You beat New York, or you revert right back to where you were before this game.
I don't even think you got to whoop them.
Drub them.
Right?
It's early. It's early in the week. I think they will. I feel good about it. And a lot of that is because I actually feel good about the head coach right now. And I wonder how our listeners feel. At 412-928-9370, Doran gave out some player grades there. How do we grade Mike Tomlin now through 7 games? The team's 5-2. They've scored 30-plus points in consecutive games for the first time since last year when Mason was in. But before that, you had to go way back. Mike Tomlin made this decision, he says, on his own, and he got rewarded. So how are we feeling about the Steelers head coach? 412-928-9370. We'd love to talk to you about that coming up next. Fan Hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high is 76.